Thank you for tuning in and listening to Mount Carmel Church of God Radio Ministries, where we strive to connect you with relevant biblical teachings for the world we live in today. Now for today's broadcast with Pastor Tim Yoder.
Hey, good morning. We're going to start a little early this morning with some Christmas carols. And so if you want to join us, you're more than welcome on page 136 in the hymnal, or they'll be on the screen. So join us as we do some caroling.
Thank you.
27 in the hymnals, "What Child Is This?"
Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you today, and Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy. And Father, we thank you for your Son, Jesus, the entire reason for the season. Lord, I ask that you watch over each one of us that are here today. Lord, if there's anything that we're holding on to, may we just lay it down this morning and come with arms wide open and stretched out to you. Lord, may we worship you and may we praise you with all that we have. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hark the herald angels sing.
Glory to the new.
And hail.
As we prepare to dive into the My Three part where we get to pray for those who don't know Jesus in our life, I want to encourage us to take an extra step this Christmas season. Not only to pray for those in our lives that don't know Jesus, but I want you to use the season to be the hands and feet of Jesus. To reach out to those who may not have a place to go on Christmas. To reach out to those who may be spending time alone. Maybe it's their first year alone. Maybe they've spent a lot of time alone. But being willing to be the hands and feet of Jesus and invite them into your life to show them who Christ is and use this season as an opportunity to spread the joy of Jesus. So as we prepare to go into prayer this morning, I want you to think about those three people in your life that don't know Jesus, and I want you to lift them up by name inside of this, because we know that God answers prayers. We know that God hears us, and he wants no one to go without knowing him. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning, and Lord, we all know people in our lives that are walking around that don't know you. Father, we also know that we don't have the ability to save anyone, but we know that you do. Lord, in this moment, we want to lift them up by name. Lord, to hand them over to you, remembering that you're the one who saves. And Father, that's why we have Christmas. Is your son coming down to make a way where there's no other way? Not just for us, but for all those around us throughout the world. Lord, we hand this over to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's just continue to worship.
Presence of my enemies, I raise a hallelujah, louder than the unbelief. I raise a hallelujah, my weapon is a melody. To fight for me. Yeshua, louder raise a hallelujah. I raise a hallelujah. I raise a hallelujah. I raise a hallelujah. I raise a hallelujah. Sing it again. I raise a hallelujah. No matter what you are going through this morning, raise a hallelujah. Raise a hallelujah. God is right there waiting. Raise a hallelujah. Raise a when final breath ended was filled.
You that we get to openly praise your name here in America. Thank you, Jesus, for your son. Thank you, Father, for your son, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.
You may be seated.
As we light the candles for the Advent candles, the first candle of last week is of hope. Let us remember that. And as we light the second candle, it is called the peace candle, Our preparation candle and significance of the peace of the Christ brings to our hearts and lives. This candle symbolizes repentance and preparations for the coming of the Lord. Isaiah 9, 6, and 7. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given. The government shall be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of David's throne over his kingdom, establish and upholds it with justice and righteousness. From that time on and forever, the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. In Isaiah 43 through 5, a voice of one is calling, in the wilderness, preparing the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall rise, every mountain and hill shall low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all the people will see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Let us pray. Father, as light this candle of peace, we thank you for the preparation of our hearts for the coming. Clear the path of our lives that keep us from you and make room in our hearts for your peace and presence. May we welcome you with open hearts and lives. Prepare for your glory, we pray. In your name, amen.
Amen. Well, good morning, church. Man, it's good to be back this week. I appreciate that. It's good to be back, and I want to thank you guys for allowing me last week to be able to go spend some time with family back in Indiana. We ate a lot of turkey, we ate a lot of ham, a lot of pies, we ate a lot, to say the least. But we got to celebrate both Thanksgiving and Christmas, and I also want to say thank you to Pastor Kerwin for taking the pulpit. It was much appreciated and a great message for all of us. I want to welcome our guests that are here this morning with us. I want to welcome you here. I also want to welcome those joining us online in the radio. We're thankful for each and every one of you. As we prepare to dive into the message, though, this morning, let us start by going to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning, and Lord, I just want to lift this message up for you. Lord, I ask that it's your words that are spoken and not my own. Father, I ask that if I say anything that is not of you, may it fall on deaf ears. Lord, that I ask that you just work inside of each one of our hearts, each one of our minds, that we may see what you need us to see, and that we can grow closer to you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, we've been in the Life of Christ series for quite a while now, if you haven't noticed. In fact, we're at about 2 years that we've been studying Jesus' life. And we are getting closer to the end of that series, just an FYI. But with that being said, we're going to pause it this morning because we are in the Christmas season. And we're going to switch over to our Christmas series this year. And the Christmas... And you know how weird it feels to say that, though? That we're in the Christmas season already? I feel like we just celebrated Easter a month or two ago. This year has been flying by. But over the next couple of weeks, we're going to be diving into the Christmas series. And the series this year is called The Coming Savior. And this week, this morning, we're going to look at why Christmas. Why do we have Christmas to begin with? Next week, we're going to be looking at some Old Testament prophecies that talk about the first Christmas and what the Old Testament has to say. And then we're going to be looking at the fulfillment of those prophecies. And we'll close it all out on Christmas Eve. You know, Christmas is one of those holidays within our society that's celebrated by almost everyone. Both Christians and non-Christians alike celebrate Christmas. And that happens not just here in America, but that happens all over the world where you will see Christmas being celebrated. And it's kind of to the point that Christmas has taken on almost a life of its own. Our culture often looks at Christmas as this opportunity to spend it with friends and family, an opportunity to spread joy and acts of kindness. It's during the Christmas season that you see people showing love, gratitude, and generosity to the world around them. You know, Christmas and Thanksgiving are roughly about the two times of the year that most soup kitchens and homeless shelters don't struggle with finding help. But come January 1st, they're struggling again. Christmas often brings out the best in people. Even the Grinch's heart grew three sizes that day. It's the time of year where gifts are given, where families that have been divided lay down and they come together. It's often called the happiest time of year. And that's what the world often thinks of when it thinks of Christmas. Now, let me be clear. These things are good. They're not bad things. We could argue that these are some great things. I mean, the idea of showing love and kindness to the world around us, I feel like there's some biblical principles inside of that. I mean, I've read the book a few times, and it seems to happen in there quite a bit. This idea of spending time with family and friends feels like a good thing. But over time, our society has lost the real meaning of Christmas. Christmas has taken on a life of its own. And as the years progress, Christmas is constantly morphing in the world around us, moving further and further away from King Jesus, further and further away from the celebration of the Son coming into the world. And the further we move from the source of Christmas, the darker this time of year can actually become. Have you ever heard somebody say, "I just don't feel like Christmas this year," or "this, I'm just not in the Christmas spirit right now"? I get it. I've been there. Been there in life myself. You know, when times are hard, it can get really hard to get into that Christmas spirit. You know, when your kids have this Christmas list that's a mile long with all the most expensive items on it, and you realize there's just no way. It just zaps that Christmas spirit right out of you. When it's the first Christmas without a loved one, it's hard to get into that Christmas spirit. When you're used to seeing that person in those family gatherings or in those friends coming together, when they were maybe even the cornerstone of those gatherings, it can become very difficult to get into that Christmas spirit. Or maybe it's the first year that your kids won't be home for Christmas. Maybe it's the first year that they won't be running down the steps Christmas morning looking forward to opening their presents. And we can start wondering, what's the point of Christmas? When it no longer feels like that perfect, happyful, and joyful time of the year, what's the point of celebrating? You know, and I can sympathize with anyone who finds themselves inside of these moments. I myself have been known to be a Grinch from time or two, and I think it's 2 years. I went 2 years without putting up my Christmas tree or decorations. I know, right? I can understand, though, the difficulty of not being around loved ones or family and friends for Christmas. It kind of makes it hard to get into the Christmas spirit. But it's in these moments that we have to remember that Christmas is so much more. It's more than the gifts that we get and the gifts that we give. It's even so much more than spending time with family and friends. You see, Christmas is a time to celebrate that our Savior has come. That there's been a fulfillment of the Scripture and that the freedom has been bought and paid for. That God's restoration work has been completed. You see, we have Christmas because God's great love for us and His desire to restore us to Himself, to be in relationship with us. And this whole Christmas stuff goes all the way back to the beginning. It goes all the way back to the book of Genesis. You see, it says in the very first verse in the Bible, it says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." And then God said, "Let there be light." And God saw the light was good, and He separated the light from the darkness. And He created the heavens and the earth, and He separated the sky from the land. And at the end of it, He said, "It was good." After that, God said, "Let the earth produce vegetations, fruits, and trees." And God saw, and said it was good. And then God created day and night. And what did God say? It was good. And after God had done all of these things, he created all the living creatures in the sea and all the birds in the sky. And at the end of it, God said it was good. And he blessed them and told them to be fruitful and multiply. And then God said, let the earth produce every living creature according to their kind. Livestock, creatures that crawl, every animal, big and small. God created them, and God said, it was good. And then the sixth day came. And this is the start of why we have Christmas. You see, on the sixth day, God did something different. It tells us in Genesis 1:26, then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. They will rule the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, the livestock, the whole earth, and the creatures that crawl on earth. Did you guys catch that? Let us make man in our image. Out of all of creation, out of everything that God made, the heavens, the earth, all the animals, everything, God made man in his own image. He didn't make the fish in his image. He didn't make the birds in his image. He didn't make the animals in his image. He made man in his image. Oh, God took the entire day to create man. It tells us in Genesis chapter 2 that God literally breathed life into man. There was something special about man to God. That point that he said, let us make man in our image, in the image of God. And it tells us in verse 27, so God created man in his own image. He created him in the image of God. He created them male and female. He made no mistake when he made us. And he made each one of us for a purpose. And he made us for a reason. And he made us in his own image. And you and I are created in the image of God. Not just Adam and Eve, but each one of us. I'm hitting that a little hard because I want us to understand how special we are to God. That of all of creation, he took the time to make us in his image. And it tells us in verse 28, then, it says, God blessed them and God said to them, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, rule the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, and every creature that crawls on the earth. You see, God gave us a task after he made us to be fruitful and multiply and to rule over God's creation. Now, by ruling, by subduing it, God's not talking about with an iron fist. God is talking about take care of it, to look over his creation. And we know that God did this along with Adam and Eve. He tells us over in Genesis 3 that God actually walked with man here on earth. That God would come down and he would commune with his creation. He took care of them, even going as far as placing them inside of the Garden of Eden where all of their needs were met because God loved his creation. God loved each and every one of us. And there was no sin, there was no pain, there was no sorrow, there was no death. Everything was taken care of. And it was a place where God could commune with his creation and spend time with his creation. And inside of the garden, God gave them permission to eat any of the fruits, any of the plants that were there. But in the middle of the garden, he placed this tree, and this was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And God told Adam and Eve they're not to eat from this tree. And he told them if they did, then they would surely die. But Adam and Eve are still human. It tells us in Genesis 3:1, now the serpent was the most cunning of all the wild animals that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, did God really say you can't eat from any tree in the garden? If you notice, he twisted God's word. He made it sound like she can't eat from any of them, but God said he can't eat from one of them. The serpent was questioning the very words of God, questioning whether or not that's what God said. And you know what? When we see that inside of our culture often. Even over the Christmas season, we have people questioning the purpose of Christmas, taking away the joy of the season, trying to make it what they want instead of what God intends for it to be, a celebration of his son. And Eve responded to the serpent in verses 2 and 3 and said, the woman said to the serpent, we may eat from the fruit from the trees in the garden. But about the fruit of the tree in the middle of the garden, God said, you must not eat it or touch it or you will die. Eve knew what God had said. She was fully aware of the instructions that God had given. She understood that God said, do not eat or touch or you will die. But there's that one rule that God had given for Adam and Eve, for their protection, for their life. But the serpent, being who the serpent was, responded in verse 4 and 5 and said, verse 4 says, no, you will certainly not die, the serpent said to the woman. In fact, God knows that when you eat it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. He distorted the very words of God and he played on the heart of Adam and Eve. The serpent was saying that they could become like God himself if they were to eat from this. They could do it their own way. They didn't have to have it God's way anymore. That if they just took this fruit, they would no longer need God because they would be like God. And that they believed that they would have wisdom just like God has. The scripture tells us in verse 6, it says, the woman saw that the tree was good for food and delightful to look at, and that it was desirable for obtaining wisdom. So she took some of its fruit and ate it, and she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Everything looked good on the outside. Everything appealed joyful, and it looked like it was wonderful and that they wanted to eat this meal. You know, when we look at the world's version of Christmas, we come across as joyful and exciting and wonderful, right? We see all the lights and we see all the trees and we see everything else, and it looks appealing to the eye. But when we remove Jesus from Christmas, it falls apart. I want you to think about Christmas for a moment. I want you to think about all the haves and the have-nots and everything that we want and desire inside of Christmas. We watch people going into debt over Christmas, racking up thousands of dollars because they need to keep up with the Joneses. I want you to think about all the people who line up in stores for hours ahead of time trying to get the best deal of the day only to find themselves fighting with other people over that item. It's not a bad thing to try to get the best deal. But when we no longer show Christ's love in the middle of Christmas, we got a problem. When we're trying to win out over others over Christmas, how is that showing the love of Jesus inside of that moment? They're pushing and shoving. There's been people who've gone to jail on Black Friday for assault, all because they wanted to get the best deal on that Christmas present. Did you guys know in 1983, I couldn't believe it, but it's true, there was literal riots over the Cabbage Patch dolls. And things were literally destroyed. And here's the kicker. It wasn't just in one area. It was all over the nation. People were lining up. Stores were being destroyed. People were shoving and everything else to get their hands on this doll. Because they made Christmas all about the items, not about Jesus. Where is the joy in any of this? Where's the brotherly love? Where's the joyfulness? Where's that time together in any of this? You know, families may come together and put a smile on the face for the Christmas photo, but they won't talk to each other the rest of the year. You see, Christmas without Jesus is really nothing at all. You might get a few items. You might say hi, bye to that uncle you see once a year. But where is that community? Where's that fellowship? Where's that joy? Where's that greatest gift? Because Christmas without Jesus does not bring out the best in us. It does not bring out the best in this world. Just as Adam and Eve, when they took their eyes off of God, when they saw that, when we look at the world's version of Christmas, Adam and Eve, when they looked and they lusted after the things that they believed that they could receive by doing it their own way, by taking a bite of that fruit, and they had this desire to have it their own way instead of God's way. You know, and it was after that moment that their eyes were open. After they took the bite of the fruit, their eyes were open, that God came walking in the garden in the evening with Adam and Eve. And Adam and Eve, what did they do? They hid from God because they realized they were naked. And you see, the man trying to blame the woman If you read through the rest of the text there, you see the man trying to blame the woman, and let me be clear, even though she was sitting next to him the entire time. We like to put a lot of hatred towards Eve, but in reality, Adam was right next to her through the whole thing. And we see the woman trying to blame the serpent. And what I find interesting is we often like to blame everyone else for our own sin. You know, in Christmas time, if we don't get the toy, if we don't get the item, if we don't do this or all that, we always blame somebody else. And if you read the rest of the passage, God outlines the punishment for both Adam and Eve inside of this moment, the punishment for sin. You know, the punishment for sin, it tells us in Isaiah 59:2, but your iniquities are separating you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not listen. Because Adam and Eve sinned and went against the very word of God, they were removed from God. See, sin separates us from God. And since the fall of Adam and Eve, there's been this divide between man and God, this separation. And it's been since this separation, since the fall of mankind, that God has been working out his redemptive story to bring humanity back into fellowship with him. See, it's been since Adam and Eve's first sin that God has been working to be back in fellowship with each and every one of us, to be back in relationship with us. And as time went on, God started to lay out his plan and start working, and it started with Abraham, where God made his first covenant. And then God continued in Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, God told Abraham, I will bless those who bless you. I will curse anyone who treats you with contempt, and all the people on earth will be blessed through you. God is saying, through Abraham, the world will be blessed. It was in this moment that God launched his plan of redemption to the world to create a group of people for himself, who would embody and spread his salvation message to the rest of the world. When we turn to Exodus, we see God's redemption of Israel from Egypt, giving us a picture of redemption of our sin, that we no longer have to be slaves to our sin. And then God gave us the law to show us his perfect standard on how we're called to live our lives and how we're called to go after him and how we're called to treat others. Then God gave us the sacrifice system to show us the cost of sin, that there had to be bloodshed for the forgiveness of mankind. And as we continue through the scriptures, we see God present with his people, leading the people of Israel. And when the people of Israel sinned, even when the people of Israel turned their backs on God, we see that he kept his promises. Each time that Israel would turn their backs on God and then turn back to God, what did he do? He always sent a deliverer to pull them back out. Each time it was God's plan surely being shown. And I can see it now on some of your faces. Some of you are sitting here wondering, that's great, Tim, but what does any of this have to do with Christmas? It's because without the story of Adam and Eve and their disobedience, because without the story of the fall of man, there'd be absolutely no reason that Jesus had to come. There'd be absolutely no reason for us to even have Christmas. Not just the world's version of Christmas, but the actual Christmas. See, Christmas is not just about getting together with family and friends. Christmas is not just about exchanging gifts with one another. Christmas points to the fulfillment of God's plan. It's about Christ coming to make a way where there's absolutely no other way. You know, the Bible says in John 3:16, a verse that I think most of us know, for God loved the world in this way, he gave his one and only son, that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. You see, it's not just a nice story to look at once a year. That's not what Christmas is. It's not just about Joseph and Mary. It's not about the wise men or the shepherds or any of that. It's about the fact that Jesus came to this earth, lived a life that no one else could, and went to the cross to pay for our penalties. He took the penalty of sin on himself. The entire point of Christmas points us to the cross. That's what Christmas is. It's part of the greatest story that has ever been told. It is part of the greatest gift that's ever been given. So that you and I can have a new life, that we can be restored to our Heavenly Father and be created in his image and to be returned to that relationship with him. See, God was in relationship with us from the beginning. He created us in his image, and he wanted to restore that back to him. Because it's only through his son that we can have eternal life. My question to you this morning is, what does Christmas mean to you? Is it about the gifts? Is it about the time with family and friends? Is it about getting the greatest deal? Or is it about Jesus? Why do you celebrate Christmas? Is it for the world or is it for Jesus? I got a question for you. If Christmas was no longer a national holiday, if not everybody decorated their trees and their houses and the lights and everything else, would you still celebrate? Would you still take time out to remember the fact that our Savior was born? Or would you just forget about it and move on? What does Christmas mean to you? Because it's the greatest gift that's ever been given. And God has been working this out from the beginning. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you today, and Lord, I thank you. I thank you for your goodness and your mercy. Lord, I thank you for your Son, Jesus, and the greatest gift that's ever been given. Father, I ask that we just look at our own hearts and minds this morning, that we see that you are the reason for the season. And Father, that we make no excuses for it, and that we keep you first during this Christmas season. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today for Mount Carroll Church of God Radio Ministries with Pastor Tim Yoder. We meet locally every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. for Sunday school and 10 a.m. for service. If this program has been a blessing to you, we would love to hear from you. We can be reached at mcchurchofgod.org or find us on Facebook at Mount Carroll Church of God, where you may also find a copy of today's broadcast. We look forward to hearing from you. Until next time, God bless. Have a great week.